One may wonder why today in this friary church the Mass is being offered with the red vestments. It is because the saint we honor this day is a special patron and protector of our institute, and so we have the privilege of celebrating this day also as a solemnity, for it is one of those rare occasions in the life of the church where the feast of the saint is not suppressed on Sunday. And that saint we celebrate today was born by the name Raymond Kolbe. He was born on January 8th in 1894. He would die on August 14th, 1941. And if it weren't for us coming to know him as Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe, he simply would have been one amongst us who came into this life and passed from this life into life eternal. But Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe would leave a profound mark on the church, especially in our day and age, and he would leave with the mystical body a way of life and a teaching that will perdure even until the end of time, for it is rooted totally and completely in the mystery of our salvation. Saint Maximilian was born like most children, and his mother had difficulty with him, for like most boys, especially those boys who are, as the expression goes, all boy, he was a very precocious child. And so, one day when he was manifesting this fault, his mother looked him very sternly and said, "Raymond, I fear what might become of you." And Saint Maximilian understood very well that that mother's correction was not simply a correction of the moment, but it was calling into very question his eternal destiny. And so he would have recourse to the Mother of God in prayer in order to try to discern what was necessary for him. But we must not understand that in exhibiting this precociousness, he was in any way a sinful child. Indeed, he was amongst those saints who never in their life, by all that we know, committed any mortal sin, certainly, but not even a deliberate venial sin. And so that night he went into before the Mother of God in prayer, and he tells us the conclusion of that prayer in his own words, for he would have a visitor, but it would not be an earthly visitor, neither his mother, his father, or anyone from this world, but it would be the Mother of God herself, and she would say to the child Raymond, as he describes it himself, "That night I asked the Mother of God what was to become of me. Then she came to me holding two crowns, one white, the other red. She asked me if I was willing to accept either of these crowns. The white one meant that I should persevere in purity, and the red one that I should become a martyr. I said that I would accept both." And at that moment, the Immaculate Virgin Mother of God would become the inspiration and the cause of his life. And so the Mother of God simply took what was those fourfold manifestations of his precociousness, and in a certain sense, like all good mothers, used it against him. For the Mother of God knew full well that Saint Maximilian would desire and ask for both of those crowns, which he would eventually receive. He would enter the conventual Franciscans in the year 1907, and he would be ordained a priest in 1918. He lived in a tumultuous time in the history of mankind, and that tumult has continued even into our day and even into our age, and ultimately it continues to endure and becomes even more violent and more virulent because we have not understood the message of Saint Maximilian Kolbe and the need of consecrating ourselves totally to the Mother of God in order to help her in the conquest of souls. Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe would develop a spirituality that would ultimately conclude in the formation of what was called the MI, that is, the Militia of the Immaculate, to be described very simply as an army of Our Lady, that is, souls consecrated to her who allow her to use them in any manner she sees fit in order to bring about the conversion of souls and the destruction of the kingdom of Satan. Saint Maximilian, again in his own words, would describe the inspiration by which he would come up with the MI movement. And indeed, it must be noted that Saint Maximilian, on the night of formulating the MI, was the same night of the last apparition of Our Lady in Fatima. And there is an exact corollary between what Our Lady was saying at Fatima and what Saint Maximilian came up with in the MIM movement. Saint Maximilian did not know of the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but the Mother of God is not restricted by our temporal time. And so, while she was giving to those children the plan that was necessary to be implemented, at the same time, she was giving Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe the grace to formulate that in a very practical manner. He would speak of what inspired him to come up with this when he describes himself a scene that would take place in the Vatican Square itself. The Freemasons in Rome began to demonstrate openly and belligerently against the Church. They placed the black standard of Giordano Brunisci under the window of the Vatican. Giordano Brunisci, otherwise known commonly amongst those who are familiar, was by the name of Giordano Bruno. He was a Dominican friar who turned into a Calvinist and ultimately turned into a pantheist, and he ultimately would be executed for his perseverance. And so, Saint Maximilian continues, on this standard, the Archangel Saint Michael was depicted lying under the feet of a triumphant Lucifer. At the same time, countless pamphlets were distributed to the people in which the Holy Father was attacked shamefully. Right then, I conceived the idea of organizing an active society to counteract Freemasonry and the other slaves of Lucifer. And indeed, it is often in history that we come to see how marvelously God works to defend us from our errors. Giordano Bruno died in the 1600s, and yet he would leave in this world an error that is ultimately the cause behind all the errors in our modern age, and ultimately it would bring about what Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe would have to live through: the Nazi regime, its rise to power, and its persecution, and its attempted persecution of all humanity. For Giordano Bruno, in his pantheism, said, came up with the doctrine of polygenism, that is, that there were more than one first parent. It is ultimately a denial of the very act of creation of God himself, and so he called it co-Adamist, that there were many Adams who gave birth to all the races, and ultimately that will always leave us striving for what is called elitism. And it would conclude, in the time of Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe, with the German people under the leadership of Adolf Hitler proclaiming themselves to be the Aryan race, that is, of all those races created and brought into existence through this co-Adamism, they were first and foremost, and they would impose their will on Europe in a way that was unprecedented in human history, and it was always intended to be the winepress by which the influence of Christ and his Church would be crushed and destroyed in this world. But Saint Maximilian Kolbe would be amongst those who would bring about its defeat, even though he would be imprisoned in Auschwitz concentration camps. And also Giordano Bruno would point that there is an infinite number of gardens of Edens, that is, he believed in the eternity of matter, and so his mind was unable to escape this world that we can see, and he could not enter into the world that we cannot see, that world which is certainly more real than the world we can see, because it includes the God who brought this world into existence out of nothing. And so Saint Maximilian would become enraged in a holy manner when he saw this procession in the Vatican itself. He had lived through similar processions during the pontificate of Pope Saint Pius X, this one taking place during the pontificate of Pope Benedict the XV. And so he would point out that during the marches around the Vatican on Bernice's anniversary, some enraged hands dared to write such slogans as, Satan will rule on Vatican Hill and the Pope will serve as his lackey, and other such insults. Now these unreasoning acts of hatred toward the Church of Christ and its temporal vicar were not the inept rantings of a few individual psychopaths, but the manner, way, and plan of action deduced from the Masonic rule, destroy all teaching about God, especially the Catholic teaching. And so, St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe understood full well what was at stake. And so, he, as he would say, turned to her alone who can bring about the union of her children against this union of Satan's children. But St. Maximilian used military terms, and indeed, he would refer to the miraculous medal as his bullets, which always and everywhere indicated he did not seek conquest on worldly terms. He did not seek to oppress and crush people through military campaigns as we understand them, but rather he sought to conquer their hearts and their souls for the Mother of God. And so, in the very statutes of the MIM, he would begin by quoting a passage from Scripture, "She will crush your head," referring to the ultimate leader of all movements contrary to Christ. And so, St. Maximilian, in identifying Satan as the leader, immediately begins to indicate the compassion he would have for all those who would align themselves with this false philosophy and this false way of life. He would continue, "You alone have destroyed all heresies in the whole world." And then he would point out the purpose of the MI. It was, first, to pursue the conversion of every person living in sin, heresy, schism, and especially Freemasonry, and growth in holiness for all persons under the sponsorship and through the mediation of the Blessed Virgin Mary Immaculate. The conditions make a total oblation of oneself to the Blessed Virgin Mary Immaculate as an instrument in her immaculate hands. Two, to carry or wear the miraculous medal. And the means, he would point out, were to offer the following earnest prayer to the Immaculate once a day, if possible. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you and for all who do not have recourse to you, especially for all the Freemasons. Two, to use all the legitimate means that one's particular state in life and conditions and varying opportunities make possible, the choice of which is left to the zeal and prudence of each member, but especially propagate the miraculous medal. He would conclude, all me, that is, all us, to praise you, most Holy Virgin. Give me strength against your enemies, which he would require to be repeated on often occasions on three times. And so, Saint Maximilian is one of those saints, rare saints, who transcends everything. And indeed, Pope Paul VI would place Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe, in his own words, among the great saints and enlightened spirits who have understood, venerated, and sung the mystery of Mary. And a contemporary of his, Venerable Father Gabriel Allegra, perhaps has given the greatest title to Saint Maximilian when he simply dubbed him an apostle of the end times. That is, Saint Maximilian's message is a clear message needed. For in this world and in this life, there is one thing that must be understood, especially within the mystical body of Christ, and it is related to the drawing of the line in the sand. For when our Lord drew that line, he pointed out, there are two ways. The way of Satan, that is on your side, Pharisees and scribes, or the way of Christ. But I draw a line, because a line can be breached. Our Lord was indicating, you nearly meet to step from your side to my side, where you will truly be protected by my grace. In our modern age, in our modern culture, that division is clear. There is no longer the excuse of ignorance, for there is the philosophy of Christ and there is the philosophy of the devil. There will be tweaks within the philosophy of the devil, but ultimately it is in place. for that earnest time in which the battle between the Immaculate Virgin and the devil will rage until the end of time. That is not to postulate that the Antichrist is amongst us at this moment. It simply means that the lines are clearly drawn between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan. And our Lord has one message, his mother has one message. One kingdom is already defeated. One kingdom will go on in glory for all eternity. And so it is precisely this reason that according to Saint Maximilian, we don't look for the worldly campaign against souls, but the supernatural campaign, that is, conversion. For ultimately, to enter into dialogue with Satan is ultimately the most foolish thing a human being can do. That is precisely what Giordano Bruno and Adolf Hitler and every tyrant in the old world or in the modern world did. Entered into dialogue with Satan and ultimately, like our first parents, fell. And fell strong and hard. It is not dialogue with Satan that the body of Christ must be involved in, but it is those colloquies with our Lord and his mother that give us the strength to walk in to the den of the lion in order to wrest the prey from his teeth. When our Lord stood before the most hardened of souls, he spoke not. They had built up an impenetrable wall that even the Son of God could not break down despite every effort. And indeed, his silence in the philosophy of the Herods of this world was his final attempt to bring them to their senses. And we always understand that eternal disposition is in the hands of God. But we must understand God doesn't call us to dialogue with Satan in his false philosophies. He calls us to go into battle against them, to refute and destroy as Saint Maximilian Mary Colmy would ultimately destroy. And ultimately, he would receive that crown in the concentration camp at Auschwitz. And indeed, we might say that there is an attempt in the modern world by Satan, its ruler, to bring about the institution of a concentration camp universally over the whole world, to destroy and to rip freedom. And indeed, when we understand what really transpired in those places, we understand that Satan was ultimately behind it. For those camps, despite the message, Arbeit macht frei, freedom through work, had nothing to do with freedom. The electrical fences were set at a level that could not kill. But once you got caught in it, you could not free yourself. And the standing order to the SS guards was to wait until that soul uttered a blasphemy, upon which they were immediately to be shot in the head. Because they knew to die blaspheming God is not a good way to pass from this life into eternity. And it was specifically designed to make people die of despair. And into that despair walked a frail Polish priest who had the operation of half a lung because tuberculosis had worked its work on his one lung and half of the other. And he walked in there joyfully because he knew he was called there by the Immaculate Mother of God to help those who would die of despair to somehow persevere through their final ordeal, their crucifixion. And it is a historical fact that there can be found no account of one soul who perished in Auschwitz while Saint Maximilian Mary Colby was present that gave any indication of dying in despair. Not one. But not only that, the commandant at the time, like is often the case, would receive the intervention of Maximilian Mary Colby, whom ashes, whose body he had burned and spread to the four corners of the earth. Upon the defeat of that false philosophy, he began, like most of them did, I was only following orders, which is never an excuse to do evil, no matter what. I reported everything to my commanding officers, and they said it was all right, continue to proceed. Never an excuse to do evil. He started out, I was following orders, and ultimately he concluded by asking for a priest, for he too was a Catholic who left the church in bitterness at an early age, and ultimately he would be reconciled. And he never once asked that his execution be stayed. Indeed, he would say that I deserve this fate for my crimes, and he accepted it in resignation to the will of God. And so, Saint Maximilian proves the doctrine he taught. While on earth, we hold on to the hand of the mother with one, and with the other, we fight Satan off. In heaven, both hands are free to do the work of the Mother of God. And ultimately, Saint Maximilian would do that work in a most extraordinary fashion. When an escape was perpetrated, it was the common practice to wait, I believe, 24 to 48 hours in the Stalag in which the escape took place. Everyone in that Stalag was marched out and had to stand that whole time until either that person who escaped was caught, or after, if the time was up, wait there as they arbitrarily were fingered. You, and you, until 10 were chosen and marched into a starvation bunker. And when the final one was chosen, St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe stepped forward with the confidence of a true son of Mary. I want to take his place, which in itself was miraculous, for the standing order was, those who break rank are to be immediately dispatched by a certain bullet in the head. The commandant engaged St. Maximilian in dialogue. Who are you? His answer was simple and yet profound. I am a Catholic priest. And implied in that is, I can no longer offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and so I will become the Holocaust for these poor souls whom you are sending into one of the most vile and painful forms of death, starvation. He would go into that bunker, and ultimately all that was heard was prayer and hymns. And so, after 2 weeks, St. Maximilian was the final one left. He would receive a fatal injection of carbolic acid and pass from this life into eternal life, always and everywhere. A true son of Mary, who did not hesitate to offer his life for precious souls. And so, let us too strive not to hesitate. For as Pope John Paul II said in coming out of that starvation bunker, if Christ were amongst us today, this is where he would have been crucified. And I don't think you can give a saint a greater compliment. For the Vicar of Christ at that moment declared St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe to be totally conformed to Jesus crucified. And the reason was because he was consecrated to Mary, ever virgin. And so let us too give ourselves to Our Lady, knowing that we are involved in a combat and we cannot continue to go forward as we presently are. But we must be constantly aware that we are involved in a combat, and whether it begins with Giordano Bruno and culminates with the Adolf Hitlers of this world, it is rooted in one thing. Somehow you can bring paradise to this earth. We can't. We have to realize we are fallen, and there's only a singular exception to the fall of mankind that was the one that St. Maximilian would turn to for all his needs, that is, the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, who alone is conceived without original sin, who does not suffer from its effects. In any way is she tainted. She is the immortal enemy, the implacable enemy of Satan, or as the Old Testament describes her, she is, as it were, terrible in battle array. And she is terrible, not to men, but to Satan and his minions. She does not want a single soul. to be destroyed. She paid too great of a price to desire anything like that. She paid the price of allowing her son to be crucified for the sake of mankind, so that all of us ultimately may follow the royal road of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the manner of Saint Maximilian, or in the manner that Our Lady has chosen for us. Let us consecrate ourselves to her, knowing that in doing so, we simply are cooperating with that mission of the mystical body of Christ to conquer all souls for the kingdom of Christ, because we understand our Lord does not desire the destruction of the sinner. He desires their conversion, and he leaves no stone unturned in seeking out souls. And so we too, like Saint Maximilian, must strive to leave no stone unturned in this life, so that we can participate in the glory in the life to come.